Space. You might have heard it's really big and really cold, but apparently not cold enough for NASA. As part of the space agency's plans to bring the first woman and the next man to the moon through its Artemis program set for 2024, NASA is providing grants to small businesses around the country to build the technology we'll need to get to the moon and back again. And one of those companies is an engineering firm in White River Junction. Here to explain their part in the Artemis moonshot is Dimmy DeSerrano, the Chief Engineer and Director of Advanced Engineering Projects at Concepts NREC. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Your contract with NASA is for something called a cryocooler. And before we get into the cool, literally meaning that space stuff, tell us, what is a cryocooler? Explain the underlying technology.
No problem. So a cryocooler is really no more than a refrigerator on steroids. It provides a cold gas, and the cryo simply stands for the fact that it goes cryogenic. Typical cryocoolers give temperatures as low as negative 250 degrees Fahrenheit, and some go as low as minus 450 degrees Fahrenheit, which is close to the temperature of deep space.
Wow. Now, I understand that your company, Concepts NREC, has contracts with the Navy to use this cryocooler technology on supercooled power transmission cables, among some other applications. Can you explain to us what NASA wants to do with this technology?
So NASA's primary interest is for liquefying rocket fuels, specifically oxygen and hydrogen. They do this either in space for orbiting fuel depot or on the moon. And so on the moon, they make rocket fuel by electrolysis of water. So you can split water to make H2 and O2, really no different than some terrestrial applications are using for fuel cells. You could breathe the oxygen, but the main need for the cryocooler is really to densify the oxygen and the hydrogen to get it in liquid form, because if you stored it on a rocket, in gaseous form, the tanks would be way too big. And so the main need for the cryocooler is to liquefy the oxygen and the hydrogen to really get its power density higher. On a space depot, liquid rocket fuel would be delivered by other rockets from Earth and stored in a depot, but that depot is exposed to the sun. And the sun heats the depot up, and that would evaporate the rocket fuel. So the cryocooler is used to keep the depot fuel cold so it doesn't evaporate and escape into space. It's well understood these days that to reach Mars, you have to refuel in space, because a rocket spends most of its fuel escaping Earth's gravity.
That is truly amazing technology. I do have to ask, though, why does NASA not have this technology themselves?
Good question. It's they've been trying to develop it for several years. I used to work at Cryari in Hanover, New Hampshire, working on these types of technologies, and then now working here at Concepts on this. It's kind of a unique application that doesn't have a large commercial need. It's very specialized. For example, the Hubble Space Telescope had a Cryari cryocooler on it that was uniquely made to cool the infrared sensor. So they're used on, you know, satellites in space, cryogenic systems in space. And so the space applications are rather limited. In terrestrial applications, cryocoolers are very common. They're used in MRI machines. They're used for liquefying oxygen, nitrogen, and helium. However, those cryocoolers are usually big and power hungry, and that doesn't really make them useful in space. And so NASA has been contracting with other companies in the U.S. To help develop this technology.
And that's what your company, Concepts NREC, that's where you step in, right? You're able to make these smaller cryocoolers, I'm imagining.
Right. So compared to some industrial systems, the types of cryocoolers we work on are easily less than half the weight and less than half the power compared to terrestrial-based systems.
You're going to be using these cryocoolers, or NASA will be, on the moon if everything goes exactly as it should. Where will this hydrogen and oxygen come from on the moon if it has to be taken from there?
So while I'm not aware of all the details, it's my understanding that the poles on the moon actually have ice underground. And so I believe their intent is to mine the ice on the moon and then convert it to water, convert the waters to oxygen and hydrogen, and then stored it as a liquid.
How did you feel about getting this contract with NASA? Was this at all a surprise to you? Was it just an opportunity you jumped all over? I mean, it really is kind of amazing for this company in White River Junction, Vermont, now to be doing this with NASA.
So I grew up in a small town in Belgium, and I never really expected to work on space hardware. Heck, I didn't even know what a cryocooler was. So I really started doing mechanical engineering because I'm interested in tractors. And then when I moved to the U.S. and got my PhD, I landed a job in this company called Criari in the Upper Valley. And that's where I developed my interest in really anything space. I worked on space vacuum pumps and space cryocoolers. And so when I came to concepts, I kept, you know, an eye open for space cryocooler topics, because Concepts is a turbo machinery company. And the cryocooler that we're working on uses turbo machinery. It's called a reverse Brayton cycle. And so it uses compressors and turbines to compress and expand the gas and make a very cold gas. And so the interest in NASA SBIR topics came from my passion for space cryocoolers and our ability to make these turbo machines and heat exchangers to develop these systems.
Dimi De Serrano is the Chief Engineer and Director of Advanced Engineering Projects at Concepts NREC in White River Junction, Vermont. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us.
Thanks for having me.